Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Anika Zubair, and welcome back to the next episode of the Customer Success Channel podcast, brought to you by PlanHat, the modern customer platform. This podcast is created for anyone working in or interested in the customer success field. On this podcast, we will speak to leaders in the industry about their experiences and their definitions of customer success and get their advice and best practices on how to run a CS organization. Today, we are speaking to Marco Caruba, who is currently the Director of Customer Success at Microsoft. Marco has had decades of experience at a number of large organizations like VMware, Vodafone, and Microsoft. He has also had a non-traditional route into customer success and has always had customer-facing roles, but not always in customer success. Today, he will be chatting with us about how to spearhead customer success into a mature enterprise organization that might not exactly understand the value of customer success. He will share his tips, tricks, and learnings with us on how to handle internal change management in order to build a global CS team. Let's chat to Marco on how he has done this at multiple organizations before. Welcome, Marco, to the podcast. I am so very excited to have you here with us today. Before we get into today's topic, I would love it if you could please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your role currently at Microsoft, a little bit about where you came from and where you are now. Just give us a little bit of background on who is Marco.
Sure. First of all, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. And maybe to answer your question, I'll do it in a little bit of a bizarre way. So okay. Let's use cities to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm going to mention five cities. So okay. Let's start with Milan city in Italy, born and raised Italian. Yeah, I have that special engraving in me. And Milan is, you know, that eclectic city that actually has some signatures from other countries, Austria, Spain, France. You see that in the architecture. You see that in the food. You see that in the way people do things. It's a very interesting, multifaceted city. So that's the first city. The second one is Barcelona, Spain. Some of my childhood was spent there for 15 summer times. You know, it was very, when I was very young, so I have a little bit of a Spanish culture in me. I speak the language. I understand, you know, what they do, how they. So that's a good one. Third city is Rome. Lived there for a few years. The Eternal City. Had the opportunity to live by the seaside, but still a few minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes from the Colosseum, Trevi Fountain. Very, very interesting city. You can still feel, you know, the past in a way. Very interesting one. The fourth city, San Francisco. Oh, Silicon Valley, technology, and, you know, the freeways and the earthquakes, Castro, and all these things. Yeah, and it was great because it was the time where I had my private pilot license, so I had the opportunity to also look at the city from above many times. Very, very good memories about everything. And the last one is the city we live in, London. Right? I mean, lots of things going on. A city that offers you more than you can experience every weekend still after so many years, you know, looking at where should I go, what should I do? And there's always something new to explore. So I picked cities because it gives a little bit more about myself. I'm one of those people that are curious and like to, you know, see how the others see things and experience things, and that also helped me building, you know, respect. All these conversations about diversity and inclusion is very dear to me, probably because of my story, but also, you know, that reflects in my professional story. I've been doing different roles in different companies, although it may seem a little bit of a linear journey from outside. It's been full of dead ends, tries, experimentation, mistakes. So I've done a little bit of things, especially in the enterprise, but also in the startup area.
Cool, cool. And I think that a lot of what you've said is really awesome to hear, the personal side and where life has really taken you, to be honest. And you've been at a number of companies doing a number of different roles, not just customer success. We obviously love talking about customer success here on this podcast, but you've been at places like Microsoft, VMware, Vodafone, and you've worked in a lot of different spaces, like you said, and different roles, not just customer success. What kind of inspired you to work in customer success?
I think it's partially exactly what you said. I mean, customer success is a mix of many disciplines. So even when you look for people, you really want to have those people that have had maybe even different walks of life or different professional experiences, because you want to have that diversity and you want to know that people that are in customer success, you know, they can leverage their experiences to ensure that they can be effective. So I think the choice of customer success for me has been, first of all, because of that, the ability to use a varied knowledge and various experience. The other thing is this idea of being able to give back, right? So I do a lot of mentoring. I know that I am lucky, I'm fortunate to have had, you know, the professional experience that I have, the life I have, and so I want to give it back somehow. So there's many ways I do that. I do community work, I do mentoring, but also in a way, if you think customer success is helping your customers to use services properly, right? And by leveraging those services fully, then they get to realize their potential or their projects or what they want to create. And so it's a way to give back.
That's great to hear. I love hearing that. And I think it's so nice because I think a lot of people in customer success are naturally empathetic, giving people. And I think the customer success community is so strong because people continue to share. And what's great about customer success, in my opinion, is it is still developing. Like, as much as it's kind of developed and there is customer success departments and chief customer officers and just more priority on customer success within organizations, it's still so different in every type of org that you're in. And there's still so much to learn and so much to teach and so much to continue to be curious about. So I really loved hearing all of that background, Marco. Thank you so much for sharing. A little bit more into what you're currently doing. I know you're leading up a team at Microsoft. Tell us a little bit more about it. Microsoft is obviously an enterprise company. Is it enterprise CSMs, SMB? What's high touch, low touch, tech touch? Give us a breakdown. What does customer success look like for your team?
Okay, yes, sure. So it's an interesting question because I'm tempted to answer directly how we are organizing the team, but I think we need to have a step back first and realize that companies like Microsoft, they have a wide array of products and they touch really, really all kinds of companies. And it's just not just about the size, right? So you mentioned, is it enterprise? It is SMB. But think about also some differences in terms of how companies operate. So for example, we have an entire team, not just customer success in general, an entire team looking after nonprofit. And those companies, yes, they look at the bottom line, but maybe they have a more noble mission, right? And so when you try to help those companies or maybe even create a product, you have to do it differently. And so it's the complexity of a company like Microsoft, 160,000 people around the globe. It's a country. And so I am responsible of a team of customer success here in the UK. We focus on a number of industries, but around us, there's many more other teams of customer success and also many other teams that are involved into the looking after the customer motion. So for me specifically, we are part of, we call ourselves customer success account managers, and that's a differentiation from the other team, which is customer success managers, because we are part of the account team. We are together with the, let's say, commercial expert and the technical expert. We form these, we call them the three amigos, in our team. It's not obviously a Microsoft definition, but we look after the health of the customers. And then in the customer success space, we're kind of like an umbrella, cover and touch all our products. Below us, we leverage the expertise, the knowledge, and the energy of other customer success teams that are more maybe product specifics.
Definitely. And it's great understanding all those differences. Obviously, Microsoft, massive organization. You've been at other massive organizations as well. Like you said, 160,000 people globally. It's a massive team. And you just mentioned that you guys are the customer success account managers. So what sort of products does your team support? You also mentioned Microsoft have such a wide array of products. Are they more technical account managers? Are they specialists in a specific product? Or are they a generalist? For those people that are listening that are, you know, looking after a suite of products, how have you broken that down for your team?
So I like to think of our team as expert generalists.
Okay.
Because on the paper, we basically cover pretty much the whole portfolio of Microsoft products. And okay, that's an interesting statement, because obviously there are some products which are popular and some products and all products are, you know, organized by families of products. So if you think about the cloud portfolio, it's an easy one to say, you know, we look after the cloud portfolio, but below that it's literally hundreds of products. And some of these products may be used by a handful of customers, right? And these customers may need those products to realize whatever they're doing, and they become at the same time, you know, the most experts in using those products, because maybe they're not popular products, but they're very important to them. And therefore, we have this ability to connect them to the product groups, right? So there's that feedback loop, which is very much active in that area, as opposed to a more widespread or more generically used product, where obviously you have to think about the scale, right? The whole planet giving feedback or asking for features, it's quite a complex mechanism to manage, which we do, but it has its complexities and limits, of course. So we look after all our products. That's why I say expert generalists, because you need to know what you're talking about to help your customers, and a little bit of understanding of the product mechanisms, but it's difficult. It's a lot of products.
Yeah, it's very tricky. And especially, like you said, such a generalist across so many products. But, you know, I think we're already kind of venturing into today's topic, which is a good one, I think, because customer success isn't just at SaaS or just at startups these days. You know, the businesses that you've been at, like Vodafone, VMware, Microsoft, these are massive organizations. They have different types of customer success teams and different products to service, like you just said. And we're kind of getting into the topic of how do you actually design customer success for such a mature enterprise organization? And I would love to know, in your experience of having such a diverse suite of products, how you help customers differently, different kinds of customers. I'm sure you have enterprise down to mid-market as well. What sort of customers do you guys service? Is it enterprise, mid-market, et cetera? And is there a different tactic when you're servicing these type of customers with your suite of products?
Okay, so I think the first part of the answer is, yes, we serve enterprise, mid-size. And I can think about my experience here now and also previous experiences like VMware. Basically, what we try to do and what enterprise companies are trying to do these days is to become experts in the industries, because that's really the added value that you want to bring to customers, right? So it's not much about the size. And yes, there's a different treatment depending on the size of the customer, but that's a tricky one, because obviously as customer success managers, we have that word customer in our title. So things tend to come, anything tends to come to us, right? Any challenge, any problem. So these days I see many organizations trying to say where they give value, but also where they are not entitled to play a part, because our people get a lot of questions and it's a matter of, you know, how much time you spend in each customer. So I think the differentiation depending on the size is really about you know, how much time you spend. Therefore, in a way, try to keep the quality high, but obviously the more time, probably the more wider help you can bring to a customer. So I think that's the only differentiation in terms of size. What you're really trying to do is to go into the industry expertise, because you want to have people that speak the same language. You want to have people that know what the trends in that particular industry are. But also you want to have people that say, hey, Mr. Customer, you know that all your competitors actually, you know, had this challenge or are going through that direction. Let me share a little bit of what's happening there. Maybe it's a, you know, a new idea for you to do something differently. Right? So it's that expertise in the field, in the industry, that I think makes the difference.
Yeah, and CSMs can be such unicorns, because you're talking about obviously being a specialist generalist, like you said earlier, but also an industry specialist on certain ways and being able to handle a customer. And I'm sure we'll get into hiring for the right type of CS for the orgs that you have been building. But I'm curious, because when I think of larger enterprises, especially some of the companies you've been at and you've worked at, customer success doesn't really come to mind right away. I think of these massive organizations where it's more sales, it's more perpetual licensing, it's more account management, but not really truly the word customer success, like looking after the entire customer journey. So how did customer success actually start at the organizations that you've been at?
A challenge of perception, because it's true, right? Obviously, you would think that large organizations are probably older in a way. And so it's not a green field, right? So it's they've been used doing things in a certain way. But now, a few years ago, this great idea about customer success comes in, and you know, the movement is infectious. I mean, it's a very good idea. And so everybody's trying to jump on this and trying to structure it. But hey, you're not a green space. A green field. You're a brown field. So yes, how do you do that? And it's challenging. It's difficult. So I think you do this. You have to balance, right? You have to, from one side, push a mindset change in your company, and that is not an easy one. You do with a number of tactics. They can be formal taxes. You change the compensation plans of people. That's an easy one. But then that means high in the hierarchy, they get it. And that's the challenge probably. So, and the other one is, you know, you go around and you have those conversations to try to sell the value of customer success internally. And then there's a movement of refreshing people, because obviously some people may not get it and may feel uncomfortable in a new world. So the concept, take for example, people that sell, the concept that it's not about selling something and that's it anymore, but it's more about selling something that actually is useful to the customer and actually they're going to be using it. It's a mindset change, right? And some people just don't like it. And so there's a refresh in terms of people at some point. And then when that happens, then when you bring new people in, you try to find the right people that have the right mindset. And that's how you change the culture internally. And that's one aspect. The other one is externally. It's difficult, right? So if you've been selling a support contract forever, and all of a sudden now you want to add the element of success, well, it's a tricky one, because if you change the wording in the contract from support to success, you may find out that your customers don't like it and they don't buy it anymore. And so you have a problem. And that is very much connected to the maturity of the customers. Sometimes I think we are lucky, right? We live in the UK. It's a very much technology, you know, it's a mature market, and you speak to people and they get it. But think about an operation, a huge company that actually plays a role in many countries. Other countries may be lagging behind in terms of the maturity of the landscape, and the IT landscape, and they just don't get the customer success movement because they are 10 years behind.
It's a give and take, and it's a tricky one, to be honest. Change management isn't something easy, and I think that in general in customer success, as well as CSMs, change management is a part of our jobs every day, whether you're changing the mindset of your customer or internally. But you did say something earlier that I want to dig into a little bit deeper, where you mentioned about helping train team members to understand the differences and really understand the full ethos behind customer success. But have you had to train team members or that you have inherited, or have you decided to hire customer success professionals and bring them in internal and have them show the way too?
So I have two distinct experiences. In my previous experience, there was a small team in place and I had to build a team. So it was, you know, a good opportunity to create the team, the culture of the team, as long as together with, you know, getting new people in. In my current experience, I landed in a team which was already formed. But again, I've been lucky because we are expanding and so we are hiring new people. So I have still the opportunity to bring fresh minds in. And of course, the element of customer success is present in the conversations, right? So the question about, you know, why customer success, or tell me more, I mean, you are doing this kind of job, what's different from a customer success job? It's a very important question because I hire looking at basically the attitude of people. I don't really care that much about skills. I mean, it's a little bit questionable because it depends on what skills. But if you ask me, for example, technology skills, I'm okay if you come in without knowing what cloud is, for example, provided you have the curiosity that you want to learn. And then I can teach you cloud, right? And, you know, I can teach you the tools and all these nice things. But your attitude being, you know, a positive person, being an altruist, having that emotional intelligence, having empathy at the base of everything. I mean, these things need to be there because these are more, I mean, you can still teach them, but these are a little bit more harder in terms of, you know, changing how people function. So I want to have people that are positivists in a way.
Definitely. And then you mentioned you have also inherited team members that you've had to change their mindset of customer success. I've also had similar experiences in the past too in my previous organizations, and they've come from a number of different roles: professional services, support, sales background, sales architect or solutions. What are you, in your experience of people that have had to step into customer success, what are some of the most closely or best, let's say, roles to transfer from other departments into customer success?
Well, I think any customer-facing role is probably the best start, right? So whether you are a seller, a marketing person, somebody who did service delivery or consultancy, I mean, all these roles make sense because the ability to interface with the others, understand their challenges, team up with those people and come up with solutions, it's always part of all these disciplines. So I guess in general, customer facing and communications, interactions, presentations, emotional intelligence, these are all valid.
I love it. And I also love that you're mentioning so many tactical things for hiring and customer success, because I know that's also really hard to find the right CSM for the position that a lot of companies are hiring for. But bringing us kind of back onto the topic of customer success at larger enterprise, global, conglomerate companies, I would love to know from your experience at larger non-cloud native. So some of these companies you've been at have been, you know, on-premise perpetual license companies before. Customer success wasn't always clearly understood. And what have you done to make that internal change management towards CS understood to the wider organization?
Yes, absolutely. So obviously, it is all based on the selling motion, right? So if you have a motion that is about selling something and then you disappear and then you appear again 3 years after because there's a renewal, that's not customer success, right? Customer success is there mainly because of the recurring revenues. So you want to ensure that the customer appreciates, uses at its fullest, really leverages the money that they spent on a service because they understand it, right? And they understand it and use it properly. And obviously that connects to the many areas that we do in customer success. It could be education, it could be proactively looking after the health of the customer, it could be support, I mean, many areas. So you can't do these alone, because as we all know in our field, customer success is not about a department. Customer success is about the whole company. So you need to have support from the executives. You need to have support from the people that drive the conversation in the company. You need to have support from the wording and the communication that you have in the company. So it's not something that you can do alone. Now, provided the environment is fertile, then it's about helping the movement.
And how have you done that? What are some tactical ways that someone who's maybe at a bigger organization that's trying to bring in success, how would they go about doing it?
So I think there are two keys here. The first one is education, which is not formal education, but try to find opportunities to step into the team meetings in, you know, on the other side, right? The marketing team meeting, the legal team meeting, the product team meeting, and just evangelize about the good and the bad of customer success, what it means, how it should be done, you know, what it entitles, how does it drive the conversation with the customer. And then the other side is ensuring that are very clear in positioning your value. So we usually say these to be done with the customer, and obviously that makes sense, right? So you sell something, it could be, you know, customer success paid for, so you have to position it correctly, but it could be part of the product. You sell a product and, oh, by the way, I give you a bunch of nice people that know how to use it so you can get up to speed real quick. Whatever the way, but we usually talk about value of customer success for the customer, but I think equally you have to position the value of customer success internally. So if I go to my sales team and I say, look, you know what's going to happen here, that you do the initial sale, then I step in, I start a healthy relationship with the customer, and after 6 months, I find an opportunity. I become your business development manager, and I give that opportunity to you, salesperson, to close that particular opportunity, right? And you see that very often in big companies, because we are into a continuous sales cycle, especially with the concept of cloud, right? You try to ensure that the customer know that they can leverage a certain product to reach their goals, but that means really you're selling something more, right? And that continuous cycle is golden for the sales teams, because we are the most intimate people with the customer. We know where the pain points are, we know what the strategy is, we know what's happening. And, you know, we keep our ears open when we are at the customer, and we try to ensure that.
And you've just mentioned so many teams, which I totally agree with. It's critical that teams across the business really understand customer success and really know the value that it brings, not only to the customer itself, but obviously internally to the organization as well. And coming back earlier to how you were saying that your team is customer success specialist, but specialist generalist, and there's the three amigos, I think you mentioned earlier too, within your organization. And at larger organizations like Microsoft, and I'm sure this is the same at VMware and Vodafone for you, but there's maybe implementation, there's technical account manager, solution specialist, professional services, you name it. There's multiple people that are probably involved in the customer journey. But in larger organizations that you have been at, how do you design a well-functioning customer success team to service enterprise companies, especially when there's just so many people there? You've mentioned so many teams, so many people. How do you make sure that you're really servicing those enterprise companies?
So let me complicate it a little bit before I answer. Think about motions. Even the way you sell can complicate these, right? Because if you, for example, ways you sell or service a customer, but if you use a partner, for example, typically large organizations have a partner team. So those people come into place, and it's an additional complexity to the picture, right? What about if you have an internal consultancy team that doubles up to a partner? That's, again, another complexity, right? Because it's like maybe historically, that's usually what typically happens. Consultancy teams have their own managers that when they step in, they in a way own the relationship with the customer for that particular project. So how do you interface? How do you ensure that those people actually work very well together with your customer success managers, right? So it can be very, very complicated and it goes on and on and on. And so how do you tackle that? So you need to be very clear that the customer success motion will eventually end up being what everybody does in the company. Mm-hmm. So your vision needs to be very far ahead. And it's a difficult one, right? Because enterprise companies, big companies, they're simply not used to this kind of thinking, right? So this is completely revolution. It's like having a country that changes culture. Takes time, takes effort, can be done. Typically, these things are like, okay, let's see what happened here, you know, in this area compared to 10 years ago, right? There's been a change, but it takes effort and it takes time. So going back to companies, you need to have very clear where you go with the customer success conversation, can be just a department. And probably you want to have a team that looks after bringing all the other teams together and coming up with processes, coming up with communication. And sometimes it's as simple as putting yourself into the shoes of the final customer and saying, okay, we want to provide an offering which covers partners, consultancy, customer success, education, support. You know, how would we pitch this in front of a customer? One slide. And then once you have that, you can go back and say, okay, how do we enable that journey? What does it mean in terms of our people, the conversation, the skills of our people, how we all work together, the processes, the tools? So it's I think it's an exercise that needs to be done centrally in a way. And I say in a way because obviously there's some customizations depending on the geography or the culture where you deliver it. But there needs to be a place where you have that vision and strategy shared across the wider team and the wider groups.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. And one last little question. You have tons of experience in that enterprise, truly high touch customer success model. For those of our listeners that are tuning in, that are possibly at these large organizations or maybe trying to carve out similar experiences that you've had already, what's one of your biggest learnings that you can share with the listeners today?
I think the biggest learning is, well, first of all, customer success, we're pretty much making this up, right? There is no recipe. So it needs to be aligned with the way your company works, your particular context, where you're operating in terms of industry, what your product is about. I mean, it needs, so don't be fooled. This is something you have to spend energy on to craft for your particular situation. But the other thing is, I think the main point of attention should be your people. So if you create that culture of customer success in your team, but in the wider organization, about thinking that, yes, you get the paycheck from your company, but really it is your customer who is paying you. Yeah. So you need to switch that mindset into, you know, how can I change my company? How can I operate in order for my customers to be happy? Because that means they will continue to pay that recurring revenue that everybody is looking after.
Thank you so much for sharing all of that, Marco. Really, really insightful. And we could keep going on this topic, but I do want to wrap up with our quick fire questions.
Okay.
And much like all my other guests, I'm going to challenge you to try to answer these next few questions in one sentence or less. I have to say my guests are getting better, but let's see if you can do it. Are you ready?
I am.
Okay, cool. My first question is, what do you think is next for the customer success industry?
I think the next big thing is that we in the customer success community are going to become allied to the customers. And what I mean with that is understanding where your customers are going and not just being there to, you know, as a vendor, but being there as participating into their motion and advocating and resolving the complexity of your companies on behalf of the customer.
I love that. At Carbon, we say that we're partners with all of our customers. So I completely agree that more alignment and partnerships will truly bond between customer and vendor. So great answer. Love it. Great start. The next question is, what is your favorite app that you cannot live without? And this can be on your phone or your laptop.
I have, obviously, like everybody, a lot of apps that I regularly use. But I think the most peculiar one that I can share here is the one that drives all the colored lights in my home.
Oh, I love it. You have LED lights in your house. So I'm guessing you...
I have basically the whole house, you know, in an app. And I proactively use it. So when there's... events, I color my lights outside to position my opinion on something. Or maybe when I have a friend coming home, first time he or she comes to visit us, I say, you know, pick a color. They say purple and say, okay, we are in the house that is now completely purple, or things like that. So yes, it's the app that I use for my lights.
Oh, that's so funny. I love that. Awesome.
My family hates me, of course, but that's okay.
Cool. My next question is, what sort of compensation do you think a CSM should get? Should it be just base salary, or should it be base salary plus like a commission and bonus?
Definitely base salary, commission and bonus.
Okay.
Now, the question obviously is, what kind of commission are we talking about? We can have an entire podcast on that if you want. But I think it's probably a combination of NRR, because that is a very good indication of the happiness of a customer. Probably I want to put some adoption in there, although it is partially covered by NRR. But the other one that I really would love to see is a way, and I know there are many ways, and I have a lot of ideas about this, to measure quality of the relationships that we have with our customers. So not the quantity, but the quality.
I like that. I do, because I know a lot of people track number of QBRs done or number of calls per week and things, and you can have tons of calls, but are they really driving value? Are they really meaningful conversations? And I think that that's something that we're still not getting there yet. The industry hasn't figured it out.
As simple as, how many days have passed since your customer, that particular person as the customer, called you to ask something? Is it 1 month or is it 1 day? Because if it's 1 day, then it means you're important to them.
Love it. And then the final question I have for you today is, what is your favorite part of customer success or being a CSM?
The most incredible thing about customer success is that because we're making these up, then we need the opinion of the others. So the community is probably the most amazing thing. I've met in the past few months and years people like yourself, and it's been eye-opening, right? I mean, it's learning from the others. It's exchanging your experiences, and it's in a way, progressing the conversation about customer success together. So I think the community, the vibe, the energy, and the ideas of the community is the most important thing.
I completely agree. Thank you so much, Marco, for sharing all of your insights, experience, everything with our listeners today. If our listeners have any other follow-up questions or want to know more, where's the best place to find you?
LinkedIn.
Awesome. Awesome. And I'll make sure to link everything in the show notes. And thank you so much again, Marco. It was an absolute pleasure chatting today.
Thanks. The same here. Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Customer Success Channel podcast today. We hope you learned something new to take back to your team and your company. If you found value in our podcast, please make sure to give us a positive review and make sure you subscribe to our channel as we release new podcasts every month. Also, if you have any topics that you would like me to discuss in the future, or you would like to be a guest on the podcast, please feel free to reach out. All my contact details are in the show notes. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time for more on customer success.